And right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, a time where we're joined by Cynthia Hostwinder and also Janet Manco. Good morning, Cynthia. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And we are one day shy of October, but it feels like October.
Oh, it's the end of the third quarter.
Yeah. Mercury sure is in retrograde, huh, Jill?
It's capital R for retrograde, yes.
Oh, my gosh. What a week it's been.
Sorry about that.
And yeah. How much longer do we have to go?
Till the 18th of October at 11 o'clock in the morning or
All
something.
All right, here you go.
Yeah. You want the exact, about the minutes?
All right, well, let's go out and take a look, first of all, at the front page here at the Lakeville Journal. And I did the interview with Women's Support Services, and they have been around for 40 years. They celebrated their 40th anniversary, and they've really changed and kind of evaluated over the past year and a half, 2 years, what they're going to do with their mission. And they really have strengthened it and changed a little bit.
I think probably all of us on this radio broadcast remember when Women's Support Services was in the little depot here in Falls Village. It was a tiny place with a couple of old sofas and, somebody just walked in. And it was very volunteer, like the people that were on the phone speaking to people who were in need of help were volunteers who were trained locally. They've become more professional in the sense that they have staff that is now working with women who are in need of shelter, in need of legal help, and in need of other support as they're trying to leave a domestic situation, either permanently or temporarily. But Betsy Morrow, who is a native of Cornwall and one of the older families there, is now the head of it, and that makes it feel very local. They had their 40th anniversary party at Lakeville at the Grove. Beautiful day for it. And talked about their new mission, which is They're very adaptable, they're very flexible, and what they're looking at now is more and more to really sort of get on the other side of the abuse equation and really try to do more education. They've always done a lot of programs, as has Housatonic Youth Service Bureau, at the local schools, just to sort of teach young people, teach young women, you know, to protect themselves from situations that can become abusive, but also teaching young men what is really expected of them in society today. So very exciting, and of course, a citation from Maria Horn.
It's the way they've expanded and covered their services over the years is truly amazing, and they teamed up with the schools and with other organizations. They've made a big dent in the stigma of violence, person-on-person violence, male on women, whatever it is, and we wish them another 40 years of continued growth because they do a great job. The fun story on your page, there's actually a couple of fun stories, but you've got the big Connecticut Antique Machinery Association Festival, and also the Country Mutt Show, which produces smiles and laughter and feeling good, and it's great to see people out there doing this stuff now.
It was really a busy weekend around here last weekend. Lots going on, and generally very nice weather, which was fantastic after we've had such a wet summer. Lance Christensen went to the Antique Machinery Festival for us in Kent. They have two festivals a year, one in spring when they power up all the big old steam machines on their campus, and one in autumn when they power down. And the autumn show is huge. The spring show is big, but not as big as the autumn show. And people come out with all of their old machinery, and it's the funniest. It's like the bar scene in Star Wars. There's just all these people driving around in all these old, from the 60s to the 1860s, machines chugging along, and time definitely stops, and they have these great swap shop tables where you can buy the weirdest stuff. This year there was a guy with calculators from the last 50 years or 60 years. It's a really interesting story from Lons. And then the Country Mutt Show, which is one of the really innovative, fun ideas from the Little Guild, just to really make a lot of community investment emotionally and financially into that organization, which started out really as sort of an adjunct to the town's animal protection services, where they would, you know, people would often come up here and hunt, or they'd have a summer house, and they would leave an animal here or lose an animal, and the animal would be turned in, and someplace had to take care of it until a new family could be found to adopt it. Little Guild has got a much bigger mission now. People really do come there to find animals that have been saved from really all over the country. A lot of volunteers there, and this wonderful show, the Country Mutt Show. Richard Schlesinger was, again, one of the MCs, along with Alan M.L. Waker from the Playhouse and Robert Levenstein from the Playhouse. Former chair Bunny Williams was there, and it's a great day out. And I said to Richard Schlesinger, who's been in the paper so much since he was saved from death from after a heart attack in town, I said, are you tired of being a local celebrity yet? And he said, never.
That's right.
Which is good for him.
All right. I want to move on to a different story, and that is COVID-19, its unexpected boost to Northwest Connecticut. It's becoming more and more apparent. And this actually came from the Five Points Arts Center in Torrington.
Right. And so the COG in Torrington worked with the Northwest, with the Economic and Community Development Organization from the state. And they had a presentation at Five Points, which used to be a small gallery, and then purchased the property that had been the UConn Torrington campus and has been doing lots of interesting shows and programs there. Really brilliant leadership by Judith McElhone. But David Lehman from the state came out, and he was saying, you know, COVID has been a benefit for the Northwest Corner in some ways. There has been federal money that came in and has been very helpful to many small businesses here, but also there were a lot of people who moved into these smaller cities that it took some of the glamour away from, you know, I have to be in New York or I have to be in Boston. Now it's suddenly like, well, actually, Torrington has got a lot to offer. So he talked about the positive side of it and things that are happening and a little bit of an introduction to Five Points, which is an interesting place.
And a little bit of local talk once again on Afghan and the U.S. military.
Right. Eric Edstrom was the newest talker from the Salisbury Forum and heavily promoted this talk. I think that a lot of people felt it was very important to hear what he had to say. And he was in the Army at a high rank, and during that war became very disillusioned with it, as happens, and wrote a book and is going around speaking and just saying, like, that really was not a good place for us to be. And, of course, this is particularly relevant of our withdrawal from Afghanistan, and he's been working very hard to get his translator out of the country and has been very critical of the Biden administration and their efforts to help save people.
All right. Good news for next weekend, not this weekend, but the Brewski Fest is back. There won't be a Salisbury Fall Festival, but there will be an artisan's market in front of the White Hart and also Chihuahua and also the Brewski Fest. So that's real good news anyway.
Right, because the Fall Festival is a big draw for the region and lots of fun. And who doesn't want to watch Irene Late make fresh bread and then get to eat it while it's so warm. But generally concerns about COVID and where it's going to be, and so they made a decision over the summer that they would not hold the Fall Festival this summer. But Salisbury Winter Sports Association will have its Brewski Fest, and they promise it's not one of those things where you have to wait in line for half an hour to get a beverage. You just walk up to the table with the beer of your choice, and you can chat with the brewers, and kudos to Stateline Wine and Spirits for organizing it again. And then, of course, the artisan sale. There will not be an artisan sale between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
No.
So if you want to get handmade gifts this year, you would want to be doing that.
All right. And coming up this weekend, a couple of marches in Northwest Connecticut, part of the women's rights.
Right. October 2nd, and men and women, old and young, everybody's invited. You can see the times and the information on where to meet on page A2 in this week's issue. And Susan Bizowitz is going to be speaking at the one in Kent, and Maria Horn, who has learned how to travel through time, will be at both. Bless her. And a very important issue, and we expect quite a large turnout for both of them, so come on out.
All right, right on the top of the second page, the Salisbury Visiting Nurse Association has awarded their scholarship, its first scholarship, as a matter of fact.
Right, and scholarships continue to come on. Of course, A2 is the page where we talk about not only scholarships you can apply for, but scholarships that you that have been awarded, and this one was for Mika Matsudera from the famous Matsudera family of Cornwall, all of whom go on to do interesting things.
Goats in Falls Village and Falls Village history on the next page.
The Housatonic Heritage Organization was started, of course, by Ron Jones, who is such an extraordinary person, and we do miss having him popping into the office all the time to talk about the many interesting things he was doing for local history, and he managed to get us as a federally designated heritage area, and which has allowed not only for funding, but also has created an opportunity for all these interesting history hikes that are either, you know, in urban settings. This year there was a lot of architecture talks, or also out in the woods. And so the last of those hikes is coming up this weekend. But last week there were two in Falls Village. There was one at Camp Isabella Friedman, or I guess the Isabella Friedman Jewish Retreat Center, and also Dick Hines and Judy Jacobs walking through town. And it's always really interesting to go on these tours because they're the living history, and they remember, you know, back when kids used to play baseball on the green, or back when, you know, this or that happened. And, of course, the big story, which we remember when this was uncovered back in gosh, it must have been the late 90s, early 2000s when they were renovating the Falls Village Inn and realized that it had been a brothel. They could tell by the way that the rooms were laid out and the sizes of the rooms and the number of the rooms.
It's the other famous brothel is what now houses Saravan in Armenia. That used to be a brothel as well. Not that I know anything about it. All right, so it was because I don't. The first American Rescue Plan Act of funds are going to the United Church of Christ in Cornwall.
That's right. The Church of Christ is not that. I think that people always are worried, especially in New England, about overlap between church and state. And so it's not because they're supporting the mission of the church necessarily, but because the church is so instrumental during the pandemic in helping to get assistance to people, and it got a lot more use than it would normally get. And so some repairs are needed to be done to help bring it back to the state it was in before they generously offered their space up. But somebody had emailed us and said they were very suspicious about what towns are doing with their ARPA funds, and so we've been trying every week to put articles in saying what is being done. So we do encourage people to read the paper, and if you feel like you missed something, you can, of course, go to our website. And if you look in the classifieds this week in the Lakeville Journal, you'll see that the town of Sharon is actually advertising for people to be on their ARPA committee. So if you're in a town and you really want to know what's happening to your town's ARPA funds, I bet if you go to town hall and ask the selectman secretary, you'll be welcomed with open arms.
All right. Lots of obituaries. Yesterday, of course, the sheriff of Dutchess County passed away. But someone who is connected to the Journal in more ways than one, Dr. Gallup, passed away.
We sometimes, often people who are well-known will pass away, and you'll get one or two appreciations to people. But generally, people don't write them. But we have really a wave of memorials of Dr. Gallup. So the family sent the obituary in, of course, but we have three letters from people really saying what an extraordinary person he was. And he's somebody that I sort of just knew from around, and I know his daughter, Kristen Rich, who lives in Salisbury and is also very active and very wonderful. But I didn't really completely understand how deeply he had impacted the lives of so many people here. And whether or not you are normally a reader of the obituaries page, you should definitely read all the appreciations of Dr. Gallup just to find out, you know, what it is that makes our community so special. And it's people like Dr. Gallup who go above and beyond in compassion and in hard work in behalf of the people that live here.
All right. We will move on right now to the opinion page. And Janet, the editorial, take pictures now to remember the way it was. That's so true, not only in the towns that we live around here, but when I lived in Kingston, I got to see what Kingston looked like 10 years before I got there and what it looks like now. It really is a benchmark because the area is changing whether we like it or not.
That's right, and it's not the first time it's changed.
Yeah.
We shouldn't act as if it's never been anything but this way. We actually try to take pictures of the main streets of the towns we cover on a generally regular or irregular basis because it is amazing how much they can change over the course of even a few years. So it's time to do that in Lakeville because it seems that it's really time, as Cynthia wrote about last week on the front page of the Lakeville Journal, time for a revival, a renaissance that will seem more complete because the former Chinese restaurant right in the middle of Lakeville is up for sale, and that is something that has really affected the way that Lakeville was able to have its identity understood by people who just drove through. So this is definitely a benchmark, and we write about, you know, what is there now, what has been there over the years, and now is the time to take a look at it and think about how it will be in its next iteration.
Well, you just take a look at Lakeville by itself. I mean, where the gas station is used to be a Ben Franklin. There used to be a jewelry store right next to that.
Right,
I mean,
right.
And this is just Lakeville. There used to be a movie theater in Lakeville.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, so, you know, I started naming things, and I named the jewelry store, and I thought, how far back should I go? It's like, well, I only have so much space here. But anyway, people will now remember. So you're right, the movie theater, the A&P food store.
And it's not only Lakeville. It's all the towns. Amina used to have a a movie theater now that they've got drive-in theater back again. So, yeah, I appreciate what was in the past to realize what's coming up in the future. It's a great editorial, it really is.
Yeah.
And lots of different letters for the unvaccinated. And something that I always tell people, before you rush to sign a petition when it's sent to you, do a little investigative reporting, just like you should do in social media.
That's true. That's what Bill Litera writes about in reference to the inland wetlands controversy around the lakes in Lakeville and so and Salisbury. And so, yeah, he is the head of the committee over at Lake Winnanskapamick and is giving the reasons why we need to be skeptical and really, yes, research. Read carefully first and then research what you might be signing.
Ralph Nader has a terrific but written well a tribute to Anthony Peel.
Yes, isn't that it makes us remember this newspaper, of course, misses Tony Peel greatly. He wrote for us and was constantly inspired to write about all different kinds of things. And so Ralph Nader writes about what Tony's widow, Liz, has put together as a tribute to Tony, which is a compilation of the columns he wrote for local newspapers. And one was down in Stuart, Florida, and, of course, a lot for the Lakeville Journal. And, it's a great tribute to Tony.
Ode to the passing of the mighty Ash this season. A great letter, including, of course, William Shakespeare.
Of course, why not? We know he looked at trees, and so yes, Kathy Harold Marlowe writes about how different it is this season, looking out in Sharon at the woods, and many people are experiencing that after so many trees have been affected by infestations, and she writes about the ash specifically.
The letters to the editor, we will have David Kirsch has a letter, and folks who missed the presentation last night by New Vance Health and Sharon Hospital, we have posted the video up on our Facebook page. We're going to very soon post it on our regular page from the meeting that was held last night, and we spoke this morning with Dr. Mark Herko. There are some very, very big changes coming up in the next year or two at Sharon Hospital that they have been working with over the past year. They announced a lot of those last night, not full details, but one of the things they did announce was the eventual closing of the maternity services at Sharon Hospital, and David Kirsch has a letter to the editor.
That's right. Dr. Kirsch is putting it all out there. He believes firmly that this is putting the hospital at risk. What New Vance is looking at doing as far as changes go, and do read this carefully. Do watch that video. It's fascinating. The hospital has all kinds of information they're willing to put out about it, but I actually think that as they're leaving the door open, that over the next couple of years, as they are analyzing things, they may change in the moment, too. And so we'll see what it ends up, but it's a lot of big changes. And it will have an effect on life in the northwest corner.
You've got Peter Steiner's cartoon there. And Peter Riva, once again, COVID killing off National Forest sequoia trees.
That's right. Peter Riva, is in the Millerton News every single week, and he has written for us for many years, and we greatly appreciate what he does. But this is an unusual take on it, and I think that we're starting to see stories about the sequoias being at risk, and he really has an interesting take on it. And don't miss Ralph Nader's column on newspaper design. It's fascinating. Well, I'm hoping that anyone who reads this paper also reads other newspapers and thinks about how they're designed. And Nader really makes you look at it and think about it in a different way.
Well, it's like and I think that's also something that about local media that's great about local media. The way it's designed, you can get statewide, national, international, regional-wide news, and you can get it on the radio, you can get it on TV, you can get it on the internet. But there's something about the way a local paper is laid out, so people can just have it there in front of them, easily find information, and easily know what's going on.
Right, that's the goal, and it's not just to have, read Ralph's column, because you'll see, it it's interesting, and he talks about mainly the large papers, yeah. but he does call out the smaller papers for doing a better job of getting information across, and that's always the goal.
Yep. There's just no doubt about that. Well, speaking about getting the word out, let's go to Compass, because you've had a very interesting story about taking a trip to Sicily out of the heart of North Canaan.
In case you can't tell by the fact that there are two photos of it, I was really struck by the tomato paste at this wonderful little new dry goods store in North Canaan called Tenuta Market, and it's one of the businesses that has been opened by a relative newcomer to the area. And I thought, when I first heard about it, I was like, ah, that's the worst idea ever. And then I went in there, and I loved it. I loved every little inch of it. And I do recommend, if you go in, to talk to the owner, Ian Edwards, who's usually there, and have him walk you through and explain the different products to you, because they're phenomenal. But when I see people's photos on Instagram of their tomato dishes that they're making with their garden tomatoes right now, I'm like, ugh, they haven't found the tomato paste yet from Tenuta Market. It makes a big difference in your late summer, early autumn cooking. Sharon Playhouse, the Sharon Historic Burial Ground, and the Sharon Historical Society are once again doing the Spoon River tour through the cemetery, which is really wonderful. I did it last year, and you have different actors from the area in costume. And they're both, they're stationed throughout the cemetery, which is a beautiful old historic cemetery. And they're doing scenes from the Spoon River Anthology, which is basically the tales of ghosts coming back and sort of talking about their lives in Spoon River that are very, even though it's from the South and from the last century, they're very relevant to all human beings and how human beings relate to each other. But then there's also some an element of it where they explain some of the well-known local people who are in our beautiful old cemetery in Sharon. And then we've got Fred Baumgarten, who writes for us occasionally and is really an expert on classical music and thinks a lot about media and movies and podcasts and stuff, and very critical of classical radio, but talks about a podcast that I've loved too, which is called Area Code. And it's hosted by Rhiannon Giddon, who's a wonderful singer and sort of a roots musician, but also is a trained opera singer, and is very funny and very interesting. And she'll choose operas, and she'll do, you know, a deep dive into an opera or a scene, and she'll talk to psychiatrists, and she'll talk to human rights advocates, and just really give you a very six-dimensional view of opera and why it's still relevant to us today. The Artisan Sale, again, October 9th, and then Jasper Johns, who we often see kicking around in Sharon at the grocery store or here at the White Hart, and has a retrospective of his work at two museums, the Whitney in New York and at the Philadelphia Museum of Art. And, you know, as a person who's local, his work touches a lot of other local people. And he's the main act, but we've got a photo from Jeanette Montgomery Barron of Kent of him, and apparently there's a story in the Washington Post that has a lot of local people connected to him this week.
There's a story in the Washington Post, also New York papers, and it's great. It's a doubleheader, and it's to see the two museums doing retrospectives at the same time of Jasper Johns. His people in Sharon should realize what a treasure they have in Jasper Johns.
Yeah, it's great to see him referred to as the greatest living American artist in all these, wide articles and pieces that are being written about him.
That is a look at some of the things that we see in the Lakeville Journal this week. Of course, we get together every week, but to find out everything, you can go online, tricornernews.com, get a subscription that way, or you can get it delivered via mail to your house or pick it up around the region. Guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you so much.
Good one.
That is this week in the Lakeville Journal with, once again, Cynthia Hauswinder and Janet Manko.